Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Filato, joined as always by Chris Flum. Chris, your beard is looking pretty beautiful right now. I don't know how my mustache is looking. Everyone on the YouTube channel, they can let me know how they feel about it. But we're not here to talk about our facial hair. We are here to talk about the New York Giants' free agent moves. And man, was it a splash on day one. 2024 free agency, man, it really started with a bang. But before we get into some of these moves, and I want to kind of preface this episode by saying, Chris and I won't be diving deep into the skill sets of each of these players, but we will be doing that in a subsequent episode. So right now, we're going to talk more from an overview standpoint, Joe Shane's vision, and also what these specific players will add to the New York Giants. But before we get into that, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I gotta say, stash looks fine. Maybe a little like Paul Rogers, Bad Company, like late 70s type look, but that's fine. It's working for you. Like I've had a mustache for approximately 5 seconds in my whole life. I tried it, looked in the mirror, realized I looked like Ned Flanders, and yeeted that right off my face.
Oh man, I don't think I look like Ned Flanders, but that's maybe an Italian plumber or something like that. Maybe I could be the third brother to Mario and Luigi. We can work on that though. But Chris, we got to start with the big news. And this kind of took me by surprise a little bit. Like I was hoping the Giants would make a splash like this, but I didn't know if it was going to be in the cards or if they even from a directional standpoint wanted to make this type of investment. Because there was a lot of talk that the Giants might be in a full rebuild mode. And this move, it doesn't suggest a full rebuild mode as the Giants traded the 39th overall pick and a fifth round selection in 2025 for star, in my opinion, edge rusher Brian Burns, and then subsequently signed him to a five-year, $150 million contract, which is the fourth highest paid defensive line and edge contract in the NFL, and I believe the second total highest paid edge behind Nick Bosa in the National Football League. So what were your initial thoughts on this deal? And are you as excited as I am about this addition of Brian Burns?
I will say I am excited, tinged with a little bit of caution, just because something we've talked about previously was that the Giants defense wasn't as bad as the numbers looked last year. There were mitigating circumstances why they didn't get as many sacks and pressures as their blitz rate suggests they probably should have. They were winning their rushes at a very high rate. They actually won their pass rushes at like, I think the 11th highest rate in the NFL. They were above the San Francisco 49ers in their pass rush win rate. But the problem for them was that quarterbacks were getting rid of the ball very quickly. And the Giants offense just was not putting a lot of pressure on opposing offenses. I think this move, I don't think it signifies that the Giants aren't rebuilding. And I also don't think it signifies that they are rebuilding. I think the calculus here is that Joe Shane was not going to get a better player than Brian Burns at 39th overall, or at least it is extremely unlikely that he was going to get a better player than Brian Burns. So it just makes sense to use that resource to acquire the best player you can. I was looking at Danielle Hunter out there, who I think signed, a two-year, $40 million or so contract. And that's kind of who I was looking at for the Giants. The trade for Burns, there had been some smoke, but it kind of took me a little bit by surprise, because I would expect that the Panthers would want to keep him, because like you said, he is a very good young pass rusher, and that's the type of player you do build around or want when you are building a team. And Carolina just paid a guard, Robert Hunt, $100 million. So you figure if you're trying to build a team, if you can pay a guard $100 million, you can pay a pass rusher $120 or $150 million. Yeah. So overall, I think this is a very good move, and I think he does fit well into what Shane Bowen wants to do on defense, and he could be even better with the Giants than he was with the Panthers, because he's going to have Dexter Lawrence in the middle, Kayvon Thibodeau across from him, and it also takes some of the load off Azeez Ojulari.
And that's what we want. We want Azeez Ojulari to operate as the third edge, and I think that could be best for him, keep him fresh, hopefully keep him healthy. Danielle Hunter's deal was 2 years, $49 million. And with Brian Burns, look, I think you put it well. It doesn't signify that they are rebuilding or that they are not rebuilding. I just think the Giants are further along in their minds in a sort of rebuild, if you want to label it that, than the Carolina Panthers, whose sole focus right now is salvaging the first overall pick from last year's draft in Bryce Young. And a guard is going to help that a little bit more than a pass rusher. But bringing in this pass rusher for Shane Bowen, we can focus on Shane Bowen's system if we want, but this is above just Shane Bowen's system. But damn, does he fit well. Because he is a more explosive and a bendier version of Harold Landry. That's what Brian Burns is. He's more explosive than him, and he is bendier. I just think Harold Landry might be a little bit stronger. Now, that I don't want that to be misconstrued, because Brian Burns actually has power rush moves. That's something that I want to make clear. He can bull rush. He has exceptional length, and he unlocks a lot of power through the ground and through his hips and into contact when he stays low, and he stays low very often. We're talking about, I'm trying to think of pass rushers in the NFL that have the combination of burst and bend that Brian Burns possesses. There's a reason why he's, I think, been fourth in the National Football League in quick pressures, which means a pressure earned in 2.5 seconds or less. I think the only players in the NFL who have more quick pressures than Brian Burns is Miles Garrett, since 2019, is Miles Garrett, Aaron Donald, and TJ Watt. So this is the type of player we're talking about from a quick pressure standpoint. And I've heard a lot of Giant fans say things like, oh, well, you know, he's only had double-digit sacks once. It's like, yeah, well, he had he had 9 sacks twice. And he had 7.5 in his rookie season. He has 46 career sacks. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 at the start of the season. He has over 240 pressures. This guy can rush the passer. This is a very good addition. If he stays healthy in this system, your four-man pass rush now is Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau. Wide nine rushers, often in 3rd and 6-plus situations, and Brian Burns thrives in that. Kayvon Thibodeau, he can be solid in that role as well. I think he can be above average to good. But now you have two guys crashing in from the wide angles, and where is that quarterback stepping up into the pocket to? Dexter Lawrence. That's who he's stepping up into. So from a scheme perspective, this makes a ton of sense. And I still think there is such a ceiling on a prospect like Brian Burns. So I fully support Joe Shane buying into that ceiling and that potential to bring an asset onto the team, like you said, that they weren't going to get anywhere else, because there was not another Brian Burns that was available that to be signed for a 5-year deal. And I'm telling you, Chris, in 2-3 years, I know this contract looks bad now, but as the cap continuously goes up, this contract's not going to look nearly as bad if Brian Burns starts to scratch that potential that I think he has.
Yeah, and you're going to have other rushers come due and get their big contracts. You're going to have, you know, Micah Parsons come due. And and just the ceiling for pass rusher salaries is just going to keep going up. Yeah. Will Anderson is probably going to be talking contract after next year, not this coming year, but after 2025, because I don't think the Texans are going to wait until his 4th year to extend him. And once those guys start to hit, this contract is going to look very, very good. Now, I would like to see him get more consistent double-digit sack seasons, but I think he will. And something I haven't seen talked about too much is that Andre Patterson is going to be getting his hands on him now. And we have seen what Coach Patterson can do with physically gifted young defensive linemen. We saw what he could do with Linval Joseph. We saw what he could do with Danielle Hunter. We saw what he can do with Dexter Lawrence. And now he's got Brian Burns to work with. So those quick pressures could get even more as he gets even more sophisticated with his hands.
Also, man, I want to remember one thing before we go to break with Brian Burns. You're right, man. Could he get more than 10 sacks? That would be excellent, right? This is still somebody who, since 2019, only has slightly more than 2,000 pass rushing snaps in his career. This is a pass rushing specialist. That's since 2019. And he's played almost 4,000 total snaps. And why is that? It's because the Carolina Panthers have sucked against the run, and it's because the Carolina Panthers have sucked as a team since basically Brian Burns has come into the league, which results in what? More teams in the fourth quarter, more opposing teams in the fourth quarter running the football. So not as many pass rushing opportunities that he could have had. So that's just some more context to the entire situation. But I was excited about this addition. But before we get into, Chris, some of these other additions and just the overall philosophy of Joe Shane, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, Chris. Let's get into just the overall philosophy, because this group's in a couple of these players. The Giants, Joe Shane. Very obvious that they wanted to invest in the offensive line. We've been hearing this for, I don't even know how long at this point. Like, oh, we're going to get hog mollies. We're going to upgrade the offensive line. Let's...
Well, did you have to use that term, man?
I had to use that term, Chris. Yes, I did. So Joe Shane goes out and he signs John Runyon Jr. The famous John Runyon is his father, Michael Strahan's BFF, former Philadelphia Eagle, for those who do not know. And John Runyon Jr., three-year, $30 million deal. So he's getting about $10 million a year. And then you get Jermaine Illuminor, who has been with Carmen Brasillo in New England and been with Carmen Brasillo in the last two seasons with the Raiders. He was signed to a two-year, $14 million deal. So $7 million average. Those are middle-class linemen that the Giants just added. I don't think either is a star. I think both can start. Specifically, John Runyon Jr. getting paid that money, he's going to be a starter at either left guard or right guard. And he has a lot of experience at both, which I really appreciate. I think he has over 1,500 snaps at both, if I'm not mistaken. But what was your thought about the Giants making these pertinent additions? And we don't have to get into their skill sets too much, but making those pertinent additions and investing your money in the trenches and then allowing faces on both sides of your football to walk out the door in Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, I think we are seeing Joe Shane's philosophy for team building start to really emerge. You know, back in 2022, he was just trying to keep his head and the team's head above water. The Giants were underwater with the cap. They had a lot of bad contracts. They had a lot of players who were not performing up to their contracts, and he just had to do whatever he could to field a team. Last year, I think the Giants kind of tried to captured lightning in a bottle, because nobody expected them to make and win a playoff game in 2022. And you know, we saw it in our post-game live streams. Like, every week we would get comments like, how did they win? How did they do this? Can they keep winning this way? And yeah, I think there's a reason why people exited every single game feeling that way. It's because, you know, the way the Giants were winning in 2022 wasn't really sustainable, which we saw ultimately last year. But the past offseason, we saw the Giants, they understood, I think, the flaws with how they won last year. And they took, as you put it a couple times, some calculated risks, because they were really trying to short circuit the process, maybe try to add some explosiveness and hope that if they just kept running, they wouldn't Wile E. Coyote down into the ravine. Unfortunately, they weren't able to keep running. Their toe went through the dust cloud and they plummeted. Now I think we were really seeing Joe Shane build the team the way he believes they should have been built from the start. And that is, they're building up the trenches. They traded for a great pass rusher, premium position. And now they're investing in the offensive line. They got a versatile starter, a guy who can doesn't have to play left or right guard in John Runyon, which also, that's going to make for some very fun Thanksgivings, I think. You know, with now New York Giants, yeah. John Runyon Jr. and his father, hated rival of Michael Strahan. That should just be fun. But then you've got Jermaine Illuminor, who he can start at right tackle, but at the very least, he's a swing tackle who can compete with and push Evan Neal, which is something Neal hasn't had yet. And that's something the Giants haven't really had at a whole lot of positions, is really stiff competition for guys. So now we've got players who can start. The Giants are paying them respectable money, but they aren't dishing out bad contracts to these guys. And they're versatile. So at the very least, you've got a good backup if Evan Neal wins the starting job. You've got a left or right guard in John Runyon. The Giants still have Josh Azudu, who's played like four of the five offensive line positions. They still have Ben Bredesen, who can play a couple different positions. So they have options here. And that would allow them to assemble their best five. And they aren't locked into drafting any one position in the upcoming draft. And that gives them a lot of flexibility going forward. So overall, I think this is a very smart, well-considered, and measured approach for what was an incredibly hectic 2 days.
And a little bit more aggressive than a lot of people maybe anticipated, including myself, right? Like, I figured they would sign an edge, and they traded for one and gave him a massive deal. And I figured they would sign an offensive lineman. They signed two, and one could possibly be the starting right tackle if something unforeseen happens to Evan Neal, if he's not ready. I mean, we know he ended the season injured. I would imagine that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and the Giants are very inclined to play Evan Neal at right tackle and have him do everything in his power to lose that job. But if he does that, which we've seen, unfortunately, in the recent past, now you have a competent option in Jermaine Illuminor, who has played right tackle at a solid rate, an adequate rate with this offensive line coach. So I want to transition a little. What do you got on that?
Just one thing. The Giants offensive line has been not good or just bad for so long. I think people have kind of lost sight of the fact that you don't need dominant players at all five positions to have a good offensive line. You think back to the 2007 to 2009, 10 was when the injuries started really hitting offensive line. The Giants only had, like, I would say, one consistently dominant player in Chris Snee, and then Kareem McKenzie was dominant at his best, but solid throughout that period. Yeah, you know, Sean O'Hara was a good center, but I wouldn't say he was a dominant center. Richie Seibert was a mixer. That dude was a brawler, but he was never really dominant. And David Deal was, again, he was a player. He was a guy who showed up, did his job, but again, never dominant. So you don't need top five picks and guys playing at the top five of their position at every single slot along that offensive line to have a very good unit. It's about having five guys working as one. And yeah, I think this is the Giants are kind of trying at least to build in that direction.
And I think that's the wise way to build. And it came at the expense of Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley, who are no longer New York Giants. Xavier McKinney joined the Green Bay Packers. I think he's getting paid about $17 million a year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the numbers in front of me, though. And then Saquon Barkley, he landed a pretty massive deal with the Philadelphia Eagles of all teams. So now the Giants, they get to play against him twice a year. I think he's the second highest paid running back in the NFL right now, one Saquon Barkley. So that's going to be interesting, man. And look, get your bag, Saquon. It's the way I look at it. I'll never begrudge a player for doing what's best for him and his family. You know, take care of yours. But I'm also never going to begrudge a fan for wanting to fan. So if you want to hate Saquon Barkley, man, that's your prerogative. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you can't do. But on that point, let's touch and get your opinions on Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley's departure. And then we'll get into who they were replaced with. And one of the guys kind of hasn't really been replaced, because I wouldn't really necessarily say Jalen Mills is a replacement for Xavier McKinney. But please, what do you think about Barkley and McKinney's departure?
Yeah, I think McKinney's departure stings more than Barkley's. Yes, Saquon Barkley was the Giants' best and most consistent playmaker for, 5 years? And I think moving forward with, we'll say, some uncertainty at the quarterback position, it would have been nice to have a player like Barkley that you could hand the ball off to, send him out on an angle route, have a wheel route, motion him over to slot receiver, whatever. Just get the ball in his hands and get him some space to work with, and he can make things happen. And that is very good to have. However, he is also a running back. He's a running back who has been injury prone. And by and large, running backs are very dependent on everything around them to produce consistently. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Barkley have a couple of very good seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles, because just everything around him will be better than it was with the Giants. He's going into, frankly, and I don't like saying this, a better situation.
True.
But that doesn't mean the Giants can't build a good situation for Devin Singletary. Like I said, it's everything else around the running back. With McKinney, you know, we don't want to dive too deep into the skill sets in this show, because that would run incredibly long, because the Giants have made a ton of moves over the last 2 days. And as we sit and record this, free agency isn't even actually open yet. It's just that kind of weird limbo period where deals are getting done but can't be signed because reasons. But so, I think we were both kind of excited about McKinney, the potential of Xavier McKinney in Shane Bowen's system, and that maybe he could get back to playing at and producing at the level he did under Patrick Graham, just because it would fit him a little bit better than what Wink Martindale wanted to do. So that I think just stings a little bit more, but he got a pretty big contract from the Packers, and looking at the way Joe Shane wants to build the team, he doesn't seem to view safety as a premium position. And it makes sense to use that money elsewhere, i.e. paying Brian Burns, where this is going to be a front-back defense as opposed to a back-forward defense. So it stings, but it makes sense.
Front-to-back is always a good solution, right? But yes, Xavier McKinney, 4 years, $68 million contract is what he ended up signing. There was no way I think Joe Shane was going to give him that. And I think all the moves that we've seen suggests as much. So now safety becomes somewhat, I don't want to say a priority, but there's question marks now at the safety position that I'm sure Joe Shane is quite privy to. So we'll see how he handles that. The Saquon Barkley contract was 3 years, $37.75 million. 25.5 of that was guaranteed when he signed the contract. And his 2024 cap hit is going to be 3.9, 2025, 13.5, 2026, 15.5. So it's a big contract for a running back, right? It's a depreciated market, but Barkley got his. And again, I'm not going to begrudge him for doing that. But if you're a fan and you want him, you do you, man. But the Giants replaced him with Devin Singletary. And Devin Singletary signed a 3-year, $16.5 million contract. Came out about $5.5 million a year. And look, man, he's not Saquon Barkley, but I've always appreciated Devin Singletary's game from afar. He has the contact balance, the vision. I think he's a better receiver than he gets credit for. We'll get into him in a later episode. But if you had to tell me, Nick, pick your running back sub $6 million, I would like it to be a little bit cheaper, but $5.5 million, you know, he's familiar with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. That's fine. I'm not going to cry about that. Pick the running back that you want to replace Saquon Barkley, sub $6 million. Devin Singletary was probably the first name that would come to my mind, and the Giants got that. And I believe I wrote about that at Big Blue View a couple weeks ago as well.
Yeah, he's a solid replacement. You know, he is not as explosive as Saquon. Very few running backs really are. Like, you know, I would say, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Devin Achane. Yeah, those guys can break off big runs pretty much anytime they get the ball into their hands. And Saquon, he isn't quite what he was before the injuries, but he does have that level of explosiveness. But one of the things that actually kind of surprised me about Devin Singletary, and you talked about his vision, his contact balance, that really plays into it, is that he actually produces rushing yards above expected. You know, like just using next gen stats, player tracking data, the NFL is trying to flatten this a little bit, basically able to predict relatively accurately about how many yards a running back or at the catch point a receiver should make based on the speed and direction of all of the players around them. You know, basically the other 21 players on the field. So like they can know, I think within about 80% of what it actually winds up being, how good of a run it's going to be. And Devin Singletary produced rushing yards above expected at almost the exact same rate as Saquon Barkley. Now, he didn't have as many carries, and he doesn't have as many explosive carries as Barkley, but he was picking up better than what he was blocked for at a similar rate as Barkley. So it isn't a sexy signing. It isn't a super exciting signing, but he is a player who can pick up the slack at, I think, a better rate than a lot of people are expecting. Yeah. Like, it's something I said to Ed after this signing is, you know, he's a good player, but I think just how good of a player and a signing this is going to come down to just how good of an offense as a whole the Giants are able to field. If they can get an offense on the field that forces defenses to respect them all over the field, then Devin Singletary will be a good running back for them. If they're fielding an offense where defenses are able to ignore one side of the field and play downhill at them, yeah, I think people might be a little upset that Barkley gets let go, but that won't be Singletary's fault.
And then we have three other signings we must go through. So quickly, let's get your thoughts, or at least the thought process, on Jalen Mills and Isaiah McKenzie. Jalen Mills, I just think it's depth. Put him in the slot. He could be a safety. He's not going to play Xavier McKinney. I think of him somewhat similarly to a Bobby McCain who was added last year. That didn't work out for the Giants. I think I actually liked Bobby McCain's game probably a little bit better than Jalen Mills, but Mills packs a little bit more of a punch than Bobby McCain, who wasn't the most powerful tackler. And then Isaiah McKenzie, I think this is just a possible kick returner who will compete for punt returning duties with Gunnar Olszewski and can also just be insurance for the wide receiver room that has suffered a couple injuries throughout the years. What's your read on those two?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on McKenzie. Yeah, he's kind of a human joystick. He is a very quick, very agile player, receiver, returner. And I think he will compete with Gunnar Olszewski. I have a feeling Olszewski will win that competition, which, by the way, same. The Giants re-signed Olszewski and Casey Kreider, both under the radar, very good moves.
And Carter Coughlin, too.
That is correct, yes. So that, like, I do like that Joe Shane is paying attention to the special teams side of things. I think that was a little bit of a, maybe a forced blind spot in 2022, just because, you know, the Giants' assets were so limited that year. But I think they kind of have learned and recognized that you have to invest in special teams at least a little bit, because you can absolutely lose games on that side of the ball. As with Jalen Mills, you know, I think you're pretty on the mark there. I think he is a player with whom the Giants are reasonably comfortable. They could play him, like you said, he was a former cornerback. He was a cornerback at LSU. He can play the slot. He can play a deep safety. He could play closer to the box. Yeah, they could use him kind of all around the back seven of their defense. I don't think this stops them from drafting a safety, but I think if a safety doesn't fall to them at a place where they feel it's a good value, then they're probably more comfortable with him on the field as a second or third safety than, say, Javarius Owens. Yeah, I think I would rather see Jason Pinnock and Dane Belton out there, but in a three safety set, Jalen Mills, you know, that's, the Giants have done worse.
I don't think they're done investing in the safety room quite yet either. So before we get out of here, just got to touch on Drew Lock. Giants signed Drew Lock to a 1-year, $5 million fully guaranteed deal. This is somebody who was traded in the Russell Wilson blockbuster trade to Seattle. Didn't see the football field in 2022 because Geno Smith beat him out for the starting role. But last year, he played in four games, started two of them, and was actually not all that bad for the Seattle Seahawks, all things considering, right? 63.2% completion rate, 543 total yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions, 7.1 yards per attempt. I just released a video on Big Blue View's YouTube page. If anybody wants to go and check that out, please go and check that out on Drew Lock. And dude, there are some flashes on tape, and there's some pretty damn good accuracy and touch, and he's getting through progressions and feel, but damn, does he get frustrating and inconsistent with his mechanics that affects his accuracy outside the numbers. And he will put the football into some places that you just probably shouldn't put the football into, but he's athletic. And he is somebody that I think if the Giants, whoever's a starting quarterback, ends up going down and getting injured, you can put Drew Lock in there. Drew Lock will be an exciting option who can maybe not lose you the game if you have a more conservative game plan. I think that's what they did in Seattle, right? Like, he's not going to go in there and just totally fall on his face if you have a conservative type of game plan, but he can be baited into some mistakes. He was also better against the pressure last season than I remembered from his time in Denver. So what'd you make of this signing of Drew Lock?
Yeah, I think this is kind of a step back from Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is just a better quarterback, a better football player. But I don't think Drew Lock is a bad signing for the Giants. He kind of wasn't on my radar as a potential veteran backup. But I think philosophically, I think he makes sense. You know, like you said, he is athletic. He has a very big arm. He can reach all areas of the field, kind of just like Tyrod Taylor. And I think the Giants do still want to have that explosive vertical aspect to their offense. You know, I think they do still believe in why they brought in Darren Waller and Jalin Hyatt and Paris Campbell, who, you know, a few of those moves didn't exactly work out last year. But I think with Darius Slayton once again being the Giants' leading receiver, and Jalin Hyatt having a full offseason to grow as a pro, they want to have those guys out there stretching the field, creating space underneath for Wandale Robinson and Devin Singletary. So having a guy like Drew Lock who can, if he has to play, can reach all areas of the field and who can make a defense pay if they turn their back on him, makes a lot of sense just from that philosophic standpoint. Now, I'm right there with you with his mechanics. That's something that has kind of haunted him going back to his college days, where he would look great. He would look like a top 10 pick on some plays, and then he would look like a bottom 10 pick on some other plays. And it was almost without rhyme or reason thinking back on it, when those mechanical issues would crop up. Yeah, hopefully the Giants can continue to work on that with him. I'm not sure he really pushes for a starting job with the Giants. Yeah, I don't know that we really have the time here to dig into the quarterback position. We've been saying this for a while. We have to have a dedicated quarterback show, because that's going to be a biggie right there. But just as a veteran backup, a guy who can, like you said, not lose you the game, Drew Lock is solid, and I think a $5 million contract is, again, a smart allocation of resources. That's not going to break their salary cap, but it's also a respectable amount of money for Drew Lock.
Anything else, Chris?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot else, but I think just for today and the scope of this show, before we really dig into the tape and just start to piece together how everything will work, and also, you know, the Giants have more moves to make. Yeah, you know, I think once we start to get a little bit of separation from the hectic first 2 days of this, you know, then we can really dig in and, you know, get to some real interesting things then.
Alrighty, thank you everyone for tuning in to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. Please, if you have not done so already, like, subscribe, comment on the podcast, and head on over to bigblueview.com, where you can check out all of our written content. Thank you everyone, and have a lovely day.